It is celebration season at Lake Shasta Caverns north of Redding. Celebration as in birthday. It seems a little odd to think of this as a 50th birthday, given that the caves themselves are hundreds of millions of years old. But you can measure by geological time, which is somewhat inexact, or measure from the time the caves first opened to the public, which is what we're doing. Hence a 50th birthday party for Lake Shasta Caverns, where Matt Doyle is the general manager. Matt, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
For the folks who've never been there, where are the caverns?
The caverns are located roughly about 20 miles north of Redding, California, kind of smack dab in the middle of the Oregon border in Sacramento.
All right, so a good place to come from either end of where the population folks are. It's more than one cave, obviously, but I mean, how big a collection of caves is this?
Well, this cave itself, the show cave portion of the cave, is roughly about a quarter mile in length, roughly about 250 feet vertical difference from the top of the cave to the bottom of the cave as far as walking distance. So it's not really large, but it's what it contains. It's the speleothem, or the cave formations, as well as the fossils in it, the limestone mountain range. Also, we're a little bit different than most other caverns where you walk through the gift store and down into the cave. Our cave actually takes about a half hour to get from our gift store to the cave via boat on the McLeod Arm of Shasta Lake. Once you get to the other side, it's a bus trip up to the entrance of the caverns. And the entrance of the caverns is roughly about 900 feet above the surface of the lake level. So you actually start from the bottom of the cave and work your way up through the top.
Interesting. So it's a boat and a bus ride first, though.
That's correct. It is a two-hour tour. It's a great opportunity if somebody has not been to Shasta Lake, even just Shasta Lake. You get some outstanding views. I might be a little biased, but you get some of the best views of the lake from that 900-foot level.
All right. How old actually are these caves then?
Well, roughly they're about 250 million years old. They started, of course, this is a limestone mountain range. It's on the tip of the Southern Cascades. And being limestone is a sedimentary rock formed by basically dead sea creatures. And, the exit of the cave is about 2,000 feet above sea level. So it gives you kind of a rough idea how geologically active this area is. You can still to this day find fossils in and around the cave. And as a matter of fact, it was also those fossils, as well as the speleothem and the entire package, that helped us to be designated as a National Natural Landmark back in April of 2012 by the National Park Service.
National Natural Landmark, which is not the same thing as a national monument or national landmark.
It's very, very close to that. But what it is, a National Natural Landmark, and yeah, that is a mouthful. Basically what it is the best geographic feature that is represented in the area. Roughly, there's fewer than 600 across the entire United States. And Shasta County has three, Burney Falls, Mount Shasta, and, of course, Lake Shasta Caverns now.
So are these caves unique? I mean, I have to believe that given the geology, there must be others not terribly far away.
I've been through roughly about 50 caves in the United States, as well as Hawaii and Bermuda. And each one's different. Each one has a little something different to offer the public. Ours, we have, I'd say if we were to pull any major things out of our cave, it would be the helictites, which are a very unique formation that don't happen in a lot of caves. In our cathedral room, we have drapolites that extend up to about 80 feet long.
So these are formations that come from the roof of the cave?
Yes, exactly. So, now, we have roughly about 32 different types of cave formations inside the cave, from helictites to stalactites. We have the basics, stalactites, stalagmites, so on and so forth.
And it's water dripping with limestone that ultimately makes these formations?
That's correct. That's a very simple process. It's pretty much water creates all of this. It creates the cavity, but at a certain tipping point, and we really don't know what that tipping point is, but then it starts filling in that cavity with calcite structure, and it's just absolutely beautiful. It's amazing to see what water and rock can do.
All right, so when we talk about the caves being 250 million years old, the fact is it's really more like a living thing, isn't it? I mean, it's changing all the time, it sounds like.
Oh, of course it is. I've been here for about 13 years, and I could see subtle changes from when I first started. Most people won't recognize it, but it does take a long time to grow. Roughly, rule of thumb, and it can change throughout the cavern, but it takes 100 years for one cubic inch of growth.
How long?
100 years.
100 years for one cubic inch of growth.
Exactly.
Wow, that is a long time. So I guess over 13 years, you might see a little subtle change or something.
Well, you can see a little bit different sheen on some of the cave formations.
So, Matt Doyle, how long before anybody discovered the caves? I mean, how far does human knowledge of the caves go back?
Well, our first recorded discovery of the cave was in 1877 by Charles Morton. Unfortunately, he did not have the equipment to go in and explore any further. He worked at the United States Fish Hatchery, Baird Fish Hatchery, which was located on the McLeod Arm of Shasta Lake. He rounded up one of his friends, J.A. Richardson, and about a year later, in November 1878, they went exploring for it. And they had the first inscriptions on the cave, so they are the documented first explorers. However, with the Indian tribes in the area, I'm pretty sure that they had used them prior to that for religious purposes, but those were not recorded. Just word of mouth, and we've heard stories about that, so we really have no idea what type of length.
All right, so we're still talking between the first white discovery and they're being used in their current use. That's about 90 years, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Now, there is also, we were able to come across an article, an older article, and it wasn't always called Lake Shasta Caverns. Of course, the lake hasn't always been here, so it went through Chalk Caverns, Baird Caverns. So it makes it difficult to try to investigate some of the far back history. But there is a cave in the local area where they did discover a human skeleton that had been in the cave long enough to where there was actually calcite starting to grow in the bone marrow, which suggests that it was thousands of years old.
Wow, so a very long time then. And did the person going to the cave to die? Did they die because of the caves? Do we know?
No broken bones. It was a full skeleton. But other than that, that's really all we know is just that short discovery and the article in the paper. There are a couple books that do mention it, but nothing to a great extent as far as detail.
We're talking about Lake Shasta Caverns with the general manager, Matt Doyle. The Lake Shasta Caverns celebrates 50 years as a tourist attraction this year. Join us on the exchange if you'd like, 800-838-3760 around the region. Our Rogue Valley local number is 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like there wasn't a great deal of attention paid to the caves, but I could be wrong. I mean, by the time we were talking about establishing this as a tourist site in the 1960s, had it been worked over with names written on the rocks and things snapped off, that sort of thing?
Actually, no. The cave was very well preserved. Even before we were developed as a show cave, I had talked to a number of locals, even Boy Scout groups, or surviving members of Boy Scout groups that went up through the cave when they were young, taking canoes across the river, hiking all the way up, and they kept it very, very clean as far as the inside. Of course, during some of the development, you do have accidents. You are dealing with explosives, but they were very cautious about that. And anything that we have been able to fix over the years, we have fixed.
Dealing with explosives?
No dealing with explosives. That's after 9/11. It's a little difficult to get hold of those.
Sure,
and really, the tour is just about perfect in length too. With being about an hour inside the cave, any change of it could really disrupt the tours. And really, they get to see everything the way it is. So instead of developing further and possibly causing more damage, we've decided to just leave it in its natural state. Try to protect it as much as possible, because even though we are a tourist attraction, our first goals are conservation and preservation.
So what kind of work had to be done to make the place accessible to tourists 50 years ago? I mean, did you put in any kinds of walkways? The reason I ask is I remember the process of actually taking out asphalt walkways at the Oregon Caves and things like that.
There was quite a lot involved as far as developing the caverns, not only carving the roads on both sides, Laying down the chip seal, we have concrete throughout the caverns. We have stainless steel handrail that we put back in 2001. Lighting systems. It was quite an undertaking, and because it's a peninsula, there's no direct road there, so everything was brought over by boat. As a matter of fact, our LCM. Just had a birthday, of course, Friday. We traced her serial numbers back, and she was at the landing at Normandy. And she's actually our workhorse of the cavern crew. Anything from buses to asphalt to concrete, she has taken over there.
You have a landing craft from Normandy right there at Lake Shasta Caverns.
That's correct.
Wow. That's amazing. I wish we'd called you on D-Day.
Exactly.
We would have both anniversaries going on at the same time. Tastes change, obviously, over the years, Matt Doyle. And I know that the kinds of things that a visitor in 1964 might have expected. I mean, they thought the World's Fair in New York was great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of thing that visitors want from caves now. How have you had two considerations, not just the visitor experience, but also environmental impacts. I mean, things like lights that encourage growth that you don't necessarily want in the cave. Have you had to make lots of adjustments through the years?
We haven't been forced to make adjustments, but because it's about conservation and stewardship of the cave, the greatest thing that we've done so far is LED lighting. And the purpose for that, of course, just like you mentioned, is it inhibits the growth of mold inside the cave like incandescent lights used to. So we've had basically a 99.9% switch over to LED lights, which dropped our energy consumption, which we run off generators, by two-thirds. And that was the first step into going completely green, which would be solar panels next. So we are moving into the space age as cavemen.
Who actually owns the land there?
The cave and the 40 acres surrounding the cave are privately owned. It is a corporation. His stocks, but there is one gentleman and his wife that owns all the stocks.
That makes it pretty simple to figure out who owns it then.
It does. Now, our main gift store, that is leased from the Forest Service, so we do have ties with the Forest Service on the Shasta Trinity National Forest. So it's almost kind of like a hybrid. We have the best of both worlds. We have the support of the Forest Service, but at the same time, we also have a little bit of flexibility on what we can do in the cave.
So, Matt Doyle, for the visitor to Lake Shasta Caverns, I mean, how strenuous a tour is it? Are there any truly tight spaces, any ways for people with disabilities to take the tour?
I'm 5'9", about 160 pounds, and I could go through the cave without bending, stooping, anything. Now, the only physical limitation that we do have is we do have roughly about 650 stairs inside and outside of the caverns. A lot of caverns in California are fairly vertical because of that highly geological activity in the area. But I've been surprised at the guests that go through. The oldest that went through was 94 years old. She came out and said she wanted to do it again. So it's really up to the individual. The caves, even though it sounds like it might be difficult on a hot day, like we've been experiencing triple digits the past 3 days, it's almost perfect for the caverns because the caverns stay 58 degrees, 95% humidity year-round. So when it's 100 degrees out and you open that door and feel that nice blast of cool air, nature's a swamp cooler, it's just amazing inside the cave. It's a nice, refreshing atmosphere, and you get a little wonder in there, too.
Based on what you just said, there's no upper age limit. Is there a lower age limit?
No lower age limit. I've taken my kids through it when they were about 6 weeks old. Of course, I had to carry them. They weren't walking. They were about to manage, or they could manage the cave roughly about 3 to 4 years old, all three of them. And now I have to run just to keep up with them.
Right. What kinds of reactions do you get from people who take the tour? I mean, you know, caves are caves. They're always fascinating. And I don't know how well lit some of these places. You mentioned a cathedral room, which I assume is a room with a very high ceiling.
That's correct. It's roughly about 180 feet tall. And it's amazing the reactions we get. It's from not only what we have inside the cave, but how spacious it could be in some of the larger rooms. But a little bit of the history behind it, the geology behind it, some of the information that we give through. Of course, kids love the fantasy features out of them. But what we've also noticed is we get people on our tour that have never been on a boat before, and it's very unique for them. Some of them claim that as being the most exciting part of the tour. The bus ride up to the caverns is unique, offering amazing scenery of the lake and surrounding area. So it's almost kind of a trifecta of just amazement.
When are you open by day? Which parts of the year are you open, and what does it cost?
We are open every single day of the year except Thanksgiving and Christmas. Of course, during a rough winter storm, we might have to close due to high winds or ice. But other than that, like recent winters, we've been open every day except Thanksgiving and Christmas. Prices range from $24 for adults, which are 16 years and up, to $14 for ages 3 through 15. To and under are free of charge.
And the discussion about possibly raising the height of Shasta Dam, I haven't heard much about this recently, but bringing the lake levels up by 18 feet, would there be an effect on the caverns?
Yes, we would lose some of our infrastructure. One of our biggest concerns about raising Shasta Dam is actually, I could go on quite a bit about it. It's recreation is only considered a byproduct on Shasta Lake, and therefore they're not really taking care of the businesses as far as this feasibility, which goes in front of Congress in January 2015. So we're paying close attention to that, and we're also voicing our opinions to make sure that we can continue operating.
All right, we'll keep our eyes on that as well. Lake Shasta Caverns turns 50 this year. Matt Doyle's the general manager. Matt, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. That'll do it for Hour 1 of the Exchange. We'll talk poetry and medicine in Hour 2 with Bill Golson coming up.